Interesting. Treatment works for others. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Thought for Today. Interesting, isn't it? Treatment works for others. Well, now, would you believe that? You see it all the time. You speak your word for other people. They come to you with problems, they come to you with needs, and you speak your word, and they get their results. They never come back and tell you that they get their results, which is just fine, but they get their results, and then you know they get their results because, you know, you're aware of these things. But then you go to treat for yourself, and what happens? You treat for yourself, and does it work? Does it work when you treat for yourself? Well, most of the time, no. It doesn't work when you treat for yourself because you are so aware that it's not working that even if it worked, you wouldn't see it working. This is what we do to ourselves. We make it so silly that it appears not to be working. We say, I would like to have happy relationships in our family. I would like to have my children and my spouse and I get along well together. You know, have a happy family. And I'd like a happy family. Okay? Then you go out and you do things that create an unhappy family. You go out and you treat your family like you are the czarist, the czarina, or the czar. You are the king, you are the queen, you are totally in charge, and they are nothing but the commoners, the little people. And this is what we do. This is what we do. And so then we wonder why our family isn't harmonious. And our family's not harmonious because they're not a family. What they are is just something for me to lord over, you know, as the king or the queen of the family. You wait till your father gets home. You wait till this or that. You know, if mother was really looking for harmony in the family, she wouldn't threaten the family. You wait. You can't do that to me and get away with it. There's no way. I'm going to get after you. Come here, I'm going to give you spanking. Yeah. Now, every situation that comes up in the family, all that mother has to do is say, hey, let's talk about that. What's going on here? What sort of a understanding do we have here? Let's talk about that. And so then mother sits down with the individual or the spouse and talks about what is on her heart. And she says, now, look, you would like to have me do everything for you. You'd like to have me help you with this and help you with that and help you to accomplish your goals and things like that. Well, now, life is a two-way street. And you help me with my goals, and I'll help you with your goals. It's just real simple like that, you know. But, Mom, you're supposed to do this for me. No, I'm not supposed to do anything. Now, what if I were in the hospital and couldn't do anything, and you had to do everything at home? Where would I have to do something, you know? Now, where is the mother who's running a big corporation, and she depends on her family to do their part at home? Oh, she may have maids and different people doing things, but somebody's got to run the show, you know. And so that's up to the family. Now, what about getting along with the neighbors? They're being kind of noisy at night and really being inconsiderate with their music so loud that it bothers everybody in the neighborhood. And so everybody says, yeah, 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 you know, complain, 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 complain. But did you bake a cake and go over and see the family next door? Go over there just about to finish a supper time. You know when they're having their supper. Everybody has supper pretty much about the same time. So you go over there about 6:30, 7, and they're still sitting at the table. And you ring the bell, and someone opens the door, and you say, I've got a gift for you. And they come in, come in, come in. You know, if you got a gift, you always come in. And so you come in, and they're all sitting at the table, and you say, I just want to tell you how happy I am to have you as neighbors. I feel so secure with you here. I feel so content with you. You just are wonderful neighbors. You make me feel so happy. And I wanted to give you this beautiful big German
chocolate cake.
Forest chocolate cake. Now, how did you know that? And what do they say? They say, "Oh my God," you know. And then under their breath, they say, "And we were just talking bad about you because you were complaining about our noise, you know." And then they start eating the cake and they say, "Wow, you know, whoa, you got to eat a piece with us, you know." And you're making about four trips to four neighbors with cakes. And you're going to eat lots of cake. But so you tell these people then, do you know that the noise next door all of a sudden ceases to be there? Now, it's not that the noise is stopped. It's that you now know the people who make the noise. You now talked with those kids. You talked with the mother and father. And they tell you about their beautiful musical instruments and how proud they are of them and how they can do certain things with the bass and the trebles and stuff like that and the different instruments that they play with and the sound equipment. And they're so proud of it, and they want to show you all about it. And you go over there and you say, "Wow, wow, wow." And you know, is there a way that you could run a speaker system from your speaker setup over to my house? Well, why would you want that? Well, the thing is, all I hear is the blare. I don't hear the depth of the sounds that you get over here because, you know, you have this right here in your home, and I don't have that speaker, and so I have to listen just to the reverberations of it. But is there a way we could get the speaker system over? Because, man, this music sounds really fantastic. And they say, "Oh, no, but perhaps we could turn the volume down a little bit, you know." And that would be nice because I just can't hear it, and I'd like to hear it. You know, don't act like a jerk and say, you know, "Shut up, turn it off," because all that's going to do is irritate them because they don't think they're doing anything wrong. And if they do think they're doing something wrong, they're doing it on purpose, and they wanted to do something wrong. And if you won't let them do something wrong, what can they do except to cooperate? But again, that's just a little manipulation. But what you're doing is you're going over and you're being a loving neighbor. You're going over and you're sharing this beautiful German chocolate cake, you know, and it just waters their mouths from beginning to end, you know, with chocolate ice cream and cream on top of it. You know, really make it a big show. And so what happens to the neighbors? All of a sudden, the neighbors, who were just a bunch of irritating people, are now human beings with names and personalities and likes and dislikes and happinesses and unhappinesses. And all of a sudden, you're part of the family. And so then you go and visit the other neighbors around who have teenagers who are a little noisy. And so you get to meet them. And you specifically say to the teenager, "Show me your system. You must have something super. I mean, because, wow, the way you can whomp out that sound, it's amazing, you know." And so they take you to their bedroom. And they show you their equipment in their bedroom. They show you all of their beautiful things. And then as you're in their bedroom, you look around and you say, "Boy, you certainly have an interesting bedroom. You have so many interesting things." All those things are things that, you know, turn you on, you know. And be interested in them as a human being. And next thing you know, they're coming to your house and saying, "Hey, you guys have been kind of busy. You haven't had a chance to mow your lawn. Would you mind if I mowed your lawn when I mow ours this afternoon?" You know? And you say, "Well, my goodness sakes, well, my goodness." All of a sudden, where there might have been war, there's now peace. And that's how you do it with a neighbor. Now, how do you do it with your own children? Or how do you do it with your own husband? Or how do you do it with your job? How do you do it with your employer? Your employer has been kind of antsy-pantsy about things, you know, and sort of a silly person expecting you to like all the things that he likes. And so you just go and like it. You go, and if your boss likes to have sheet music on everything, you go buy a book on sheet music and give it to him and say, here, I just happened to be in the music store the other day and I saw this book on sheet music. I know you like that, so here it is. And he said, oh, well, thank you. He won't turn it down because that's his thing. He wants it, even though he should have bought it himself, and maybe he did. But that you took the time to think about him when you were on your own time and then bring him a nominal gift like that, your relationship totally changes. You're the giver. See, now, before he's the giver in paying you the salary and stuff like that, but now you're the giver. You're the giver in sharing. And it just makes your whole relationship totally different. But you see, it's interesting how treatment works for others, but not for ourselves. And the reason it doesn't work for ourselves is that we haven't put it in motion. We haven't put it in motion and let it be. You take your chocolate cake to your neighbor where they're kind of noisy on their instruments, and then all of a sudden, you're friends. You're not a bunch of ugly neighbors. And you go to your own child. You go to your son or daughter's room and you see it in quite an interesting experience. And you go in there and you say, now, I love this shirt that's lying on the floor that's being trampled on. That's beautiful. When did we buy that? Oh, a long time ago, yeah. And, it's so lovely. May I wash it and iron it? Because I think it is so beautiful. And not everything. And don't make a big fuss over it. Just take one thing and make a fuss over it, you know. And as though you noticed that it was there. And all the rest of the stuff on the floor, far more important and far more damaging, you might say. But you choose something that you know that child likes and that you like. And that's not going to be hypocritical. And you're going to take it and wash it and iron it and say, oh, this is so beautiful. May I hang it in your closet for you? You know? And, sure, thank you. And, you know, everything looks, your closet is so empty here. But everything looks so beautiful when it's hanging in your closet. I'm just so... Oh, it just tickles me whenever I see that shirt. I think of that shirt hanging in your closet, that shirt hanging in your closet, you know. And it'd be silly, you know. And then what happens? They get over their rebellion of throwing their clothes down, not wanting to put it away, not wanting to care about their place in the family. And you see, all that lack of family harmony is because individuals are each being rebellious to prove that they are themselves. They're being themselves and having fun. But really they're not. Because they're just trying to be rebellious to show that they can do it. Like children, they start smoking not because they want to smoke and not because the peers smoke. It's because they want to be rebellious. Little children come home, tell dirty stories or use bad words, and they just want to be rebellious. And a wise parent knows how to handle. Hey, you think that's a dirty story? Come here, let me tell you what I know. Something that I know. And then the next thing, you know dirty stories? Oh, my goodness, you can't live as long as I did and not hear a few. But, Mom, I didn't think you appreciated them. Oh, I don't appreciate them. But, I mean, if you're going to tell them, I'm certainly going to do you one up. I know worse ones than you do. But, Mom, that's not very nice. Well, a dirty story at any time is not very nice. But, hey, you know. And pretty soon the kid says, gee, Mom's not fighting me. I'm not having to fight something. What's going on here? And they don't say what's going on here. But then they stop being rebellious. Rebellion only comes because there's a counter-rebellion going on. There's something that's trying to stop it. Something is trying to manipulate it or control it. And so, if you are a wise parent, or if you are a wise spouse, or if you are a wise person in your life, in your business, what happens? You will use your wisdom. You'll use your wisdom like King Solomon, who said to the two women who both claimed the one child, okay, we'll cut the child in half. You know, and okay, Solomon didn't say, you can't have it, and you can't have it. You know, we'll give you half, you know. But a half of a dead child is nothing, you know. Well, that's right. And a live child that's being torn apart is nothing too, you know. So, be like Solomon in your wisdom, where you don't have to execute it, but you at least send it out so that it can be seen, heard, and responded to in a positive way. Interesting. Treatment works for others, but it can work for us when we just let go and follow our inner wisdom, our inner guidance, and then it functions beautifully. Have a lovely day, and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.
Love you.
I love you.